Today's shiur m'sechva b'mtzi daf lamed hey. We will begin be'ezer Hashem yisbarach on daf lamed hey amen aleph, second line amarava. We had learned that Afuna taught us that no matter what, if a shomer claims that what he was asked to watch he no longer has, he's stolen or whatever, on top of whatever other shvuos are required, the Torah says that the Chazal taught us he has to make a shvuah that he no longer has it. For Chazal were concerned that maybe he wanted to hold on to it. He likes what he was watching. And that's why he said it got lost or stolen or whatever, just to be able to hold on to it. So the Gemara asked, if that's the case, the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos discusses extensively, what is the halacha if the malva has a mashkin and it got lost? And now there's a dispute between the malva and the loiva, how much that mashkin was worth. And the Gemara discusses that under certain circumstances, a shvuah is required. But not only the Gemara say that a shvuah under certain circumstances is required, but the malva is the one that makes the shvuah, because we're concerned that if the loiva is going to make the shvuah, and after the loiva makes the shvuah, the malva will pull out that mashkin, it'll turn out that the loiva will become a disqualified aid. But ask the Gemara, if the malva, who is the shomer of the mashkin in this case, is going to have to make a shvuah that he no longer has it, so then how can we be concerned that the malva will pull it out? He can't pull out something that he doesn't have. That was the question of Rav Huna. So the Gemara offers answers to that question. The first answer the Gemara suggests in our shir is Amar Rava. The case that you don't make the shvuah is she'esh edim shenisrafa. Even though, as we just said, normally a shvuah must be made that he doesn't have it, here you don't have to make. He didn't have to make that shvuah because the edim say that it got burnt and it's no longer in existence. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, so we have a concern that the malva is going to pull it out. How could the malva pull out something that Edim told us was burnt? Elam Rav Yosef, she Edim shenignava. He could prove with Edim that it was stolen. So if he could prove with Edim that it was stolen, he need not make a shvua sheinu b'rishusay that he doesn't have it. Ask the Gemara, it's the same question. Saif, if he could bring Edim that it's gone, that it's stolen, so why would we be concerned? How can he pull it out? Answers the Gemara, because the Torah Maisla, he's going to go through great lengths to try to find it. Ask the Gemara, Hachi, says the Gemara, so then if that's the case, Hachi, Kimishtava Malva, when the Malva swears, and we're concerned that, is he saying the truth or not? Why should we not be concerned? Similarly, that Nami Litrich Loiviv Elaisi, that the Loiv is going to go through great lengths to find it, and by the Loiv going through great lengths to find it, then the Malva will turn out to be a liar. Says the Gemara, that isn't a consideration. And the Gemara explains why. Bishlam Malva Yodaman Ko'ayav Anafik Bebesi. The Malva knows who comes in and out of his home, and therefore, he goes out of his way to try to find, knowing all the people that were in his home, that's how he could perhaps discover who stole it. But the loiva doesn't know who is frequenting the home of the malva. The loiva doesn't know who's frequenting the malva's home. And since the loiva doesn't know who's frequenting the malva's home, he has nowhere to begin to find it. Abai Omar, a different way of explaining. It says the Gemara, Zera Shema Yitain, V'yoyme Loi Achashvu Mitzusiyah. What's going to happen is, the Malva is going to make a Shua, like Rav Huna told us, that he doesn't have it, and therefore, we presumably need not be concerned that the Loiva now could be caught lying because the Malva doesn't have it. What's going to happen is that the Malva is going to say, when I made the Shvuah, I didn't have it, but now I found it. And now the Loiva will become disqualified. Rav Ashi Amar, Rashi says that what the Mishnah actually in Masechet Shavuos means to say, Ashi Amar, Zenishba Vzenishba, that actually both the Loiva and the Malva have to swear. Zeh, the Malva indeed makes a Shavu, as Rav Huna has taught us, Nishba Shenu Rishusai, Zeh, and the Loiva is the one that makes the Shavu Kami Shava, Vach Kamer. And what the Mishnah over there means to teach us is Mi Nishba Tchila. Now that we're learning that both of them have to be making a shvua, malva nishva tchila, because we want the malva to first swear that it's not in existence, for we are concerned that if the loiva makes the first shvua, maybe what's going to happen is shema yishavazeh, the loiva is going to make the first shvua prior to the malva having sworn. And we're not concerned that the malva is going to make a full shvua, but we are concerned that the malva not having made the shvua, and therefore not being committed to what to it not being here. And then after the loiva made the first shvua, now the yotza lost b'kadin, the malva will pull out the b'kadin and prove the loiva as a liar. So yes, the loiva makes a shvua, and yes, the malva makes a shvua shenem b'shusai. What the Mishnah means there to say, the malva shvua comes first. Gemara now asks another question. Rav Huna b'tachlif b'shmei Rav Amma, Reisha the Sefer, the first case of the second part of the Mishnah, Tiyufta l'Rav Huna, represents a refutation of Rav Huna's opinion. Because the Mishnah said, Selvas helasani alav, the Loiva says that you lent me a selva, ashtayim haya shava, and the mashkin was worth two. V'loya malay kasela havasicha, the Malva says, I lent you a selva, and selva yishava. So according to the Loiva, the mashkin was worth two selaim, and therefore, now that the Malshkin is lost, the Malva owes the Loiva a seller. According to the Malva's version, the loan was for a seller, and the Mashkin was a seller. And therefore, the halacha is that he's Koifer HaKol, according to his version of the events. He owes nothing to the Loiva. But ask the Gemara, the Miso de Rav Huna, if the halacha de Rav Huna has been teaching us, is that somebody who has something that belongs to someone else always has to swear shvua shenu b'rishusai that he doesn't have it. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, why don't we say here, Miga the mishtava malva shenu b'rishusai, once the malva has to make a shvua, how much that he doesn't have it, as Rav Huna has taught us. So as we've been learning many times, the halacha of Gilgul Shvua, that once you make a Shvua that you have to make, then you could then another Shvua that maybe you didn't have to make is opposed. So why not over here, L'shdab benami al Gilgul Shvua, kami yashavi, you should have to swear through the Gilgul Shvua how much it was worth. Because even though he's a Kofer HaKol, but once he's making the Shvua, she'ene b'rishusai, he should also have to make the Shvua how much it was worth, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, Amrata L'Shmaitza Kamei D'Rav Kahana, I said this halacha over, I said over this question and this discussion to Rav Kahana, Vamalei, and he answered, the reason why the Malva doesn't make the Shvua, because there are cases where the Malva doesn't have to make the Shvua She'ena B'Shusai, that Rav Huna has been teaching us. It's talking about a case, Taheba Maminoi, where he believes him. And since he believes him, he does not, even if Rav Huna says that the Shomer has to make a Shvua Shena B'Rishusai, the only time a Shomer has to make a Shvua that's Eina B'Rishusai is only in a situation where the person who left the object with him doesn't trust him. But if he trusts him when he says, I don't have it, then you don't have to make the Shvua. So ask the Gemara, if we're referring here to a situation would a loiva trust the malva? And therefore, when the malva says, Eina b'rishusi, he trusts him. So why don't we say, Nemni loiva la malva, nami baha? Why doesn't he also trust when he says, Kama shava? Says the Gemara, because the loiva says, I don't accept the malva's contention of how much this is worth. Shaloi kimle begavei. I was the one, the loiva says, who owns the mashkin. I was the one that gave it to the malva, and he really doesn't know how much it's worth. Ask the Gemara If that's the case, v'nemli malva loiva, so why doesn't the malva accept what the loiva says? Because this mashkin that the loiva gave to the malva, kimle begavei, it was his object, and he really knows how much it's worth, says the Gemara, loim hemenle. He doesn't trust what the loiva says. So ask the Gemara, the way the Mishnah is being understood is, mashna, why are we explaining the loiva mehemen lelamalva, that the loiva entrusts the malva, and when the malva says any brishu, so he accepts what he says. Or mashna malva the mehemen lelaiva, when the loiva says any brishu, so he doesn't trust him. Answers the Gemara, loiva mekayim b'malva, the loiva's attitude towards the malva is the pasuk says in Mishlei tumas yisharim tanachem, that if somebody baruch Hashem is wealthy and he's a malva, he's able to lend money, it's obviously because he's a good person. Good people are HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards. So a good person, when he says something, the loiva says, I will trust him. However, malva mekayim b'loiva, the malva's attitude to the loiva is a soil of b'agdim yishdeim, that people who don't act necessarily honestly don't end up having money, and therefore they have to borrow money, and therefore the malva says, the fact that you had to borrow money is an indication that you're not that honest. And that's why I don't accept what you say. It says the Gemara, gavra, dafka kipa gabe chavreri. Somebody left a pair of earrings by somebody, amle, and now the person who left it comes to the shomer and tells the shomer, havli kipi, give me back my earrings. Amle, lo yadana hechesfin. He says, I forgot where I put them. Asla kamed Rav Nachman. They came to Rav Nachman, Amalei, and Rav Nachman said, Kola Yodana, whenever we have a situation where the Shomer says, I don't remember where I put it, that's considered Pshia, so he is considered an act of Pshia. And there's an interesting question amongst the Rishonim, what does it mean, Kola Yodana? What does it mean when he says, I don't know? So the Shita quotes the Ritva, that even if the Shomer says, I know I put it in a safe place, I just don't remember where it was, that's considered a Pshia. Because not remembering where you put it, even though you know you put it in a safe place, is considered a Pshia. The Miri disagrees. The Miri says that if he doesn't remember if he put it in a safe place or not, but if he remembers that he put it into a safe place, he just doesn't remember where that safe place is, then that's not considered a Pshia, that's considered an Aveda. And I saw that the Achrayim suggest that what is the basis of this Machloikus. The Machloikus is, at what point is this considered a Pshia? Is it considered a Pshia from the time that he put it in a place that he could forget where he put it? Or is it only a Pshia from the moment that he forgets? The forget is the putting it in such a place, the Pshia, or is the forgetting the Pshia? The Miri holds that the forgetting is not the Pshia. The Pshia is putting it in a non-safe place. And therefore, if at the moment when you put it away, you put it in a safe place, it's not a Pshia. Whereas the Ritva's opinion is, the forgetting is the Pshia. And therefore, the fact that you originally put it in a safe place won't make a different. So that's why they told him, Zlim, Shlim, it's considered a Pshia, and you have to pay. And the Rit Mordechai says that when somebody makes this type of a comment, that he says, I don't know where I put it, the halacha is that he immediately has to zil shlim, that he has to pay immediately. And not that we give him a chance to say, maybe give me a chance to look for it. Here we see that as soon as you say, I forgot where I put it, you're considered a pesheya and you're obligated to pay. The Shar Ephraim asks a question. He says that the Gemara Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Chav Vav Mabeis, speaks of a case of somebody forgot that he had a stone in his lap and stood up, and then the stone fell and caused damage. The Gemara says that since the person forgot about the stone, he's not considered a pesheya, and he doesn't have to pay like a mazik, nezek tzar, ipui, shevis, and baishis. And the Muki Yosef, based on that Gemara, indeed says that let's say somebody was preoccupied and forgot to daven. The halacha is that if you forgot to daven ba'onis, you can make it up by the next tefillah. But if you forgot the pshia, is not available, the pshia, you can't make it up. And Muki Yosef says that if somebody just was preoccupied and forgot to daven, then he's not considered pshia and he can make it up. So ask the Shar Ephraim that in that's the case, why in our Gemara, where somebody forgot where he put it, it is considered a pshia? Says the Shvus Yaakov, that even though under normal circumstances, forgetting is not considered a pshia, a shomer is in a different category. Because part of being a shomer is that it's your obligation not to forget where you put the pekudim that you were supposed to watch. In other words, when a shomer accepts the responsibility to watch the pekudim, he assumes the obligation to put it away in a place where he's certain to find it. If he forgets the place where he put it, then he has not done his job as a shomer properly, and therefore he's considered a pesheya. The Nesivus has a different approach to this whole Gemara. The Nesivus approach is that the reason he's responsible is not because of a regular pshia, but rather he's considered a mazik. If somebody puts somebody else's thing in a place where it can't be found, he's considered a mazik. And therefore, the halacha is a shomer who is a mazik will be held. A shomer who is a mazik will be considered a pesheya. I saw an interesting question very much connected to this discussion. What happens if somebody found something that belonged to somebody else and he isn't a shomer, but he hid it, and now he doesn't remember where he hid it? Will he be held responsible or not? So it's really very much connected to the discussion that we just had. If we're going to learn that this is a special halacha, as the Shvus Yaakov said, in a shomer, that part of the shomer's responsibility is to watch what he was supposed to watch and make sure that he puts it in a place where he won't forget where he put it. So that's a halacha that's said to a shomer. It isn't a halacha that's said to anyone else. I, who'm putting away something that belongs to someone else because I care to protect his item, I'm not his shomer. I'm doing it on my own, and therefore I wouldn't be held responsible. However, if we follow the Nesivus' approach, where the Nesivus' approach is that a person who puts something away in a place where it can't be found is considered a mazik, so then the halacha is that I would be considered a mazik. I saw a similar shaila. What would be the halacha if somebody was asked to sell somebody else's chametz and then he forgot to sell the chametz? Will he be held responsible or not? So if by me undertaking it, I'm considered a shomer, so everybody would agree I'm responsible. But if I didn't take it on as a shomer, so it could be according to the Nesivus, I'm still a mazik. I caused damage because you're not, now your chametz that wasn't sold will become chametz shavah l'avah Pesach. If I'm not a shomer, according to the other opinions, I wouldn't be held responsible. The pasuk in Parshas Bereishis tells us that Kayin says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Where is your brother?" And his response was, "Lo yadati, I don't know." HaShomer Ochi Anochi says, so I saw that Rav Nebenzal Shlita, and I saw Rav Lavdol B'chaim L'chaim, Rav Chaim Kinevsky Zatzal says the same word. What he was saying was, HaShomer Ochi Anochi, I'm not a shomer. Meaning, had I been a shomer, it's understood why I would be held responsible, as our Gemara just said. Says the Gemara again, by forgetting where you put it, you're a pesheya, and therefore zil shlim, you have to pay. Loy shalom, he didn't pay, as Rav Nachman told him to pay. Also, Rav Nachman afgel afandaminei. Rav Nachman took his mansion away from him because for the debt that he had, the earrings that he didn't pay back. It says the Gemara L'soif ishtakeh kipi. Ultimately, they were found, the earrings were found for Yakar, but they were more expensive. Om Rav Nachman, hada kipi l'marayu. We give the earring back to the original owner. V'hadrafan l'mara, and the mansion we give back to its original owner. Om Rava. So Rava comments, have you seen the kamei to Rav Nachman? I was sitting in front of Rav Nachman when this halacha came up, Upirkin and Mafkid Hava, and we were learning Perka Mafkid, Vamali Shilim. We learned in our Mishnah Shilim. If the Shomer paid Vilay Rotzul Shava, instead of swearing and not having to have to pay, and the Shomer paid, the halacha is that he gets the kefil. So the same thing should be here. The fact that he paid for the earrings, gave up his mansion, now when the earrings are found, they should become his. V'loy hadali, and Rav Nachman did not respond to this question. And he says, v'shapar avadalai avadali, it's good that he didn't answer. My tama, why is the question from the Mishnah not a good question? Hasan lo yetrachil beidina. In the case of our Mishnah, the Shomer said that I'm going to pay and we'll avoid the entire din Torah. And therefore, he's rewarded with getting the kefil. Hacha, that's not what happened here. Truchin al Beidina, they came to the Bezdin of Rav Nachman. And therefore, the circumstances are very different, says the Gemara. So does that mean to say, remember the Sover of Nachman, is it indeed the opinion of Rav Nachman, the Shumer Hadar, that if something was taken away from somebody in order to pay back a debt, and then after it was paid back, the halacha is that if it was found, the halacha is you get it back. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hassan. The case is not the same. The Shuma Batars Hava. Indeed, if something is taken away, if something is foreclosed properly, then the halacha is that that is final. Here, it should have never been taken away. The mansion should never be taken away. The Shuma Batars Hava. The whole thing was a mistake. The Hava Kippa Mikara. Rashi explains that they were here all along the earrings. They just didn't know where it was. And that's why it's not to be compared to a case where something is foreclosed on because you can't pay your obligation. Says the Gemara. So now the Gemara goes into the Sugya. What is the halacha if somebody is foreclosed on, and we take something away from him, and then then he's able to satisfy? Does it go back or not? Amrei nadoi shuma hadar atreis erchashata. Until 12 months from when it's taken away, it's returned. Vama ameima anom adar ano afram adar svirle. But I hold that shuma hadar loyelam, it goes back forever. Vilchasa. Says the Gemara that the halacha is that Shuma Hadal Olam. It always goes back forever. Shenemar, because the pasuk says the Sisa Yoshev Toiv. That's the right thing to do. There is a machloikus rishonim. This halacha that the Gemara is saying that Shuma Hadal Olam is that by karka or by metaltlin. The Ramban and the Rosh say that it's only property, that if property was foreclosed on, and then the person has the ability to satisfy the debt, that's where we say that it goes back, but not by metaltlin. And the Magen Mishnah says that this is also the opinion of the Rambam. However, the opinion of the Ritva and the Meiri is that even metaltlin go back. But the Ritva suggests that it makes a difference what type of metaltlin. If the metaltlin that were taken away, a type of metaltlin that you can't find the same thing, so then the halacha is it goes back. But if it's metaltlin that are easily substitutable, then metaltlin, the Ritva will agree, don't go back. The Ramah paskins that only karka goes back, but not metaltlin. And the Sma explains the opinion of Rama, because karka is considered a nachla. It's considered something that stays in the family forever, but not metaltlin. The reason, how do, not is another machlokes rishonim. When we say it goes back, what does it mean that it goes back? That means it was never really the person who he gave it to, or is it that it was his, but now it goes back to the original person? In other words, if that will, the question will be if a new kinyan is required or just automatically happens. Another question, of course, that comes up is, let's say what was given, what was foreclosed on, goes up on value, or the person who got this piece of property improved it. And we're learning now that Shuma Chazeres La'olam, what will be the halacha? So the Rosh says, it's only in a case where the property that was foreclosed on didn't go up in value, and the person who got it, usually the Malva, didn't make improvements. But otherwise, but if he made improvements or went up in value, then it doesn't go back. The Tur disagrees, and he says that he quotes his father, the Rosh. He says that if went up in value, then it goes back. Of course, he has to pay the loiver would have to give the malva the difference. If he put in improvement, then he says that it doesn't go back. But then the Torah quotes the opinion of the Bala Trumas, that if it went up in value by itself, the halacha is that the loiver gets it back. And not only does the loiver get it back, but the loiver does not have to pay for the fact that it went up. Not only does he not have to pay, he says that it looks like ribbis if he'll have to pay the malva. And therefore he says if it went up by itself, not only does it go back, but the loiver is the one that benefits from the fact that the value of the property went up. And as we learned, the Rosh doesn't agree with that. Says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious. Shamalei Lebal Chayv, if they took property and gave it to Bal Chayv, I owe somebody money, and they took the property from me. And then the person who I owed money to, they took the property away from him and gave it to the person that whom he owes money to. We say to the second Bal Chayv that you're no better than the person from whom you received it. And just like from the person whom you received it from would have to return it, you too have to return it. Zabna, what happens if the Bal Chayv, the Malva who got this property, sold it? Ursa, or it was given as a Yerusha to his children. Or Viyav Matano, he gave it away as a gift. Vadi Hani Mikara Adata the Arav Nachas, they got it because they need this piece of property. Vilav Adata the Zun Nachas, they didn't come because of money. And therefore, that you they keep it. Next quest. Shamla Isha, they gave the property to a woman because somebody owed the woman money. Vinciba, and then this woman got married. Then the halacha is that any property a wife brings into marriage, to one degree or another, the husband has control in it. A shaman in the isha, or they took it from a woman, vinciba, and then this woman got married, umaisa, and then she passed away. It says the barbal benisa ishta lekeichava. The halacha views the relationship of a husband to his wife's assets as a lekeich and not as a yorish. And therefore, if they gave it to a woman because money was owed to her, and he yarshin the karka, lema heder, the husband yarshin the property, lema heder, lema adrina lay, the halach is we don't give it back. Because, as we just said, a yorish doesn't give it back. Domer Rav Yossi, how do we take this halacha that the husband's considered like the lema heder, and that's the question. Says the Gemara, that the husband is considered a lekeach and not a yoyrish. Dom Rav Yosef Chanina Beusha Eskinu, he shemachra benichsim melug b'chayi bala. If a woman sold assets from the nichsim melug, the loch of the nichsim melug is that the assets belong to the wife. The payers go to the husband. Or mason she dies, baal moitzim yadal kuchas. The chomim treat the husband as a lekeach and not like a yoyrish. A yoyrish obviously can't take away something that the person whom he's inheriting from sold in his lifetime. But if somebody sells something that he has no right to sell, the wife who sold assets that really the husband has first rights to, he can take it away. Agbi iu b'choivai. That means if the Beis Din did not get involved, the loiva paid this property because he owed the malva money. And now the loiva said to the malva, I owe you money. I don't have the ability to pay you. Take this piece of property. And now he wants it back. He could pay for it. Says the Gemara, Pligabar of Acha Ravina. It's a subject of Machlokes Acha Ravina. Charama Hadra, that it goes back. Charama Loi Hadra. And the Gemara explains, Manam Loi Hadra, that it doesn't go back. Sova Hai Zvina Ma'al Yehu. It's considered a full-fledged sale. The Hamidat of the Nafshi Egbay, the Loiva voluntarily gave it up. Or Manam Hadra. And the mandam that says that here too, if the loiva has the ability to get it back, to buy it back, he may. So the loiva's vina ma'al yehu, it's not considered a regular sale. For hai the agbe medate, I, the fact that he voluntarily gave it up, for loiva saladina and he didn't go to Besdin, is not because he's doing it out of his own free will. It's only machmas ksufa the agbe, he didn't want to have to go to Besdin, so he did it this way to avoid the embarrassment. But it's no different if he did it voluntarily or was taken by Beis Din. Ask the Gemara. Memes Achaperi. At what point does the person that takes the property, that forecloses on the property, entitled to eat the payers of that property? Rav Abba Mekimatya Drachta Liyade. As soon as 90 days, Beis Din says to the lover, you have to pay the malva. And if 90 days pass and he didn't pay, at that point, Beis Din gives the malva a note of foreclosure, and at that point, he's entitled to the payers. So even the way the Rishonim explained, he doesn't actually get the property yet, but from that point, the payers are his. The Edom who signed in it, as soon as the Edom signed on that adrachta, even if the malva didn't actually get it, it's already his, because we learned previously, Zokon L'Odom Shlei B'Fonov, so the Edom signing on that document gives the Malva the right to the payers. Rava says, Chishlim Yimeich Rasta. The halacha is that just because there's a drachta, now we begin a bidding process, and whoever offers the most gets the property, and that's the money that the Malva will receive. Only when the bidding process is complete, that's when the malva is entitled to the payers. Says the Mishnah, Soicha Parah Mechaveri, somebody rents a paroi, and then from somebody, a calf from somebody, a shilach, and then he lends it to somebody else. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, the case we're speaking about here is where he had permission to do so. And then Mesuka Darkoi, and it died. Yishava Seicha Shemesuka Darkoi. So the Soicha has to swear that the animal died of natural causes, so he's an oinus. And a soicher is there, not responsible. But a shoyl is chayiv even for einsim. And therefore, yishalm l'soicher, he pays the soicher the value of that animal. Amar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says to this, it doesn't make any sense. How can we accept that the soicher will be benefiting off somebody else's cow? El taksa paralabalim, the shoyl has to pay the owner. Here Rabbi Yossi introduces a new concept. Ketzet Allah Isa Saicher B'parasa Shal Chaveri. So there's a number of questions that come up Haloch L'maisa. One question is that somebody rented a car for $100 a day. Then he rented that car to somebody else for $150 a day. And can the original owner say, well, it's my car? So if you're getting $150, I should get the extra 50, not you, based on what Rabbi Yossi just told us. Ketzet halah oisa sara schayre parashas chaveri. So Machna Ephraim says that no, here the original, the owner of the car isn't entitled to that extra $50, because the $50 is not for the car. It's for the use of the car. The car, it belongs to the original owner. The use of the car now belongs to the person who leased it. Then I saw another shaila, where a shul had an extra Sefer Torah, and they lent it to a yeshiva. And there was a terrible story. There was a fire in the yeshiva, and that Sefer Torah got burned. And they ran a campaign to get a new Sefer Torah. And after they got the new Sefer Torah, the gaboyim of the first shul come and say, that new Sefer Torah belongs to me. So the Chalkus Yaakov, the Shalos Tshuvos Choshen Mishpat Simen Chavov, discusses the question. They say that they don't have to give it, because they didn't do business with the Sefer Torah. They did business with a terrible tragedy. The tragedy is not what's owned by the first shul. But then the Or Sameach discusses a question where somebody rented an apartment and he pays for insurance. And then there was a fire and there's insurance payment. So now the owner of the apartment says, you're making profit, the insurance payment don't belong to you because you're not the owner of this apartment. I am the owner of the apartment. So Or Sameach says that the person who pays for insurance is not paying because he owns the apartment. The insurance is a payment of to protect yourself, and therefore it's not considered that you're doing schar with your property of somebody else. But then I saw that there's a very interesting discussion that Rav Moshe Zatzal has regarding using Meiser money for buying a raffle. So Rav Moshe says that there are two types of raffles. Certainly there are certain raffles where there's no limit to the amount of tickets that they're selling. So if there's no amount of tickets there's no certain amount of tickets that are being sold, you certainly could use Meiser money. If there is, however, a set amount of tickets that are being sold, then it's different. Because there, it's an investment. It's a gamble. And maybe you can't use Meiser money. But what will be the halacha, discusses Rav Moshe. So there's no set amount of tickets. And therefore, as Rav Moshe just said, you're allowed to use Meiser money to buy the ticket, to buy the raffle, and you won. So who owns that prize? You use tzedakah money. So the tzedakah owned the prize, or do you own the prize? So Rav Moshe says you own the prize, but you have to deduct the amount of Meiser money that you use to get that prize. However, the Shas Chuvis Evan Yisrael from Rav Fisher Zatzal disagrees. He says that if you use stocker money to buy this prize, if you use stocker money to buy this prize, so the prize belongs to the stocker. And since the prize belongs to the stocker, so you can't take that prize, because as Rav Yossi just said, Rav Vozner Zatzal, the Shas HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Tes, Simen Shin Hei, has this discussion, uses this concept that we just learned in the Gemara to discuss another very common issue. And that is that airlines typically offer mileage for trips that you take on the airline, the miles that you fly. And the question is, who is the owner of those miles? If you're going on a business trip and your company that you work for is paying for the ticket, who is entitled to those miles? So of course, if there's a understanding between the company and its employees, so whatever is the understanding is the understanding. But in a case, in the case where that is not the case, then Rav Vozner discusses that if your company paid for your trip, the miles belong to them. and he uses the svara that Rabbi Yossi just taught us. Ketzer hala oisa schayra b'parasha shel chaveroi. If your company pays for those miles, the miles belong, for the ticket, the miles belong to them. Says the Gemara Amalei Ravidi bar Avin Labai, Michti, soicha b'may kona lahai para. How does the soicha become the owner of this para? B'shvua, that he swore that the animal died of natural causes. So namele maskil a soicha. Why can't the masker, the owner of the animal, say to the renter, "Dal antu dal shvasa, I'm leaving you out. V'anom mishtoi dini by the shoyl, and let me deal directly with the shoyl, and the shoyl will have to pay me the einsim because the shoyl is chayif einsim." Amalei, so Abaye answered, "Mi savet shoych v'shvur the kakanalei. It's not the shvur that makes him the owner of it. V'shas misu the kani. At the moment the animal died, he is entitled to the payment." The shvua, and the shvua that is made is only kedei lahafas datus shabalabayis, that the balabayis should be comfortable that nothing wrong was done. Says the Gemara, Amrav Zera, based on this ruling of the Tanakam of the Mishnah, we could have a situation that pam shabal mishalm kam paras l'soicher, that the owner will owe the renter many the value of many animals. Explains the Gemara Hechidom exactly what is the case. He rented the cow for 100 days. And then the owner of the cow borrowed the cow that he rented for Tishin Yomim, 90 days. And it has to be 90 days, Tosfos explains. Because if he borrowed it back for the whole 100 days, that just cancels out the entire deal. And then he rented it for, the renter rented it for 80 days. And again, Vada Shalmine Shivim Yami, and then he borrowed it for 70 days, the owner of the animal. And then Mesa B'toich Shmilasa. So we have here two acts of borrowing. That called Shail of Shaila, and since he's a Shail, and a Shail has to pay for Einsim, his Chayiv Chadapari, he owes a cow. Amalei Rav Achmed Difti L'Ravina. Says the Gemara Michti, let's try to understand what we just discussed. Chadapari, we're only dealing with one cow. Ayla v'afke, he bought it and removed it from different places. Afke meskiris v'ayla l'shayla. Afke meshayla v'ayla l'skiris. So it should all be one. Amalei umis l'par be'ena. Do we have the own cow here that he could say, here's back your cow? The cow isn't here. And therefore, for every act of borrowing, he has to pay. Umis l'par be'ena de'mahachi. Says the Gemara. Mabar v'ashi ama, in such a case, he can't have a claim. Ein lo yaleim el shtei paras. Chada de shayla. One is for the final borrowing. The chada de scheris for the remaining rental. That he can't provide the animal that I rented, that now you can't provide it. Because he says, shum shayla achasi. All the acts of borrowing are considered one. For shum shchiris achasi. And all the acts of renting are one. The shayla kanal gamri. The one when you borrow it, when you lend it. So, and now something happens, the person who lent it is gets back from the shoyl the value, the schiris of the Bayme Schirasai, or the Leila Mara. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Pam Shnei Bechatis.